You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Some Northern California members of the Cherokee tribe are planning to commemorate their famous ancestor, John Rollin Ridge, at his final resting place in Grass Valley this Sunday. Ridge was also known as Yellowbird. He came to California in the 19th century and is considered the first Native American novelist. You might know about his work, The Life and Adventures of Joaquin Marietta. In the studio with me is Mike Webb. He's treasurer for the Cherokees of Northern Central Valley, and he's the organizer of this weekend's events. Hi, Mike. Glad
Hello.
To have you here.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate this.
And you've brought a number of books also by John Rollin Ridge. We'll mention those in a moment. Tonya Elliott is here. She is the drum keeper of Ochagea, which is an all-Cherokee women's mother drum group. Hi, Tonya.
Hi.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And Ben Ridge Goss is an advisor and past council member to the Cherokee Society of the Greater Bay Area. He is also a descendant of John Rollin Ridge. And Mr. Goss, welcome.
Thank you.
I think you're the right person to start by talking about the legacy of John Rollin Ridge and he's your great, great, great uncle, correct?
Three greats.
All right. Tell me about your triple great uncle.
Well, he was born in 1827 in Georgia on a place called Running Waters, which is near present-day Rome, Georgia. He was the son of John Ridge and the grandson of Major Ridge, who were both very powerful members of the Cherokee tribe at that time, Cherokee Nation, I should say.
And Yellowbird himself wasn't full-blooded Cherokee.
No, he would be a half.
But he lived as a member of the tribe?
Oh, yes, yes.
So he brought with him a writing, a sensibility, and what was considered a true voice of the tribe?
After his father's assassination, his family moved to Arkansas, and he was educated there and then later sent back east to some schools, missionary schools there. He was well educated, and at that time he started dabbling in poetry. He didn't get into writing the novel until much later, but he never forgot his Cherokee heritage, no.
Can you tell me, as a young boy, what the sort of legend of Uncle John Ridge was?
He didn't really become famous when he was a young boy. I mean,
I meant to you.
Oh, to me?
As people told you about this famous...
Not an awful lot. Well, the Ridges almost got wiped out in the internecine wars of the Cherokees, when they had one faction fighting another. And he was writing quite a bit to his uncle, Stan Waite. He really wanted revenge on the people that assassinated his father. And
which was a brutal assassination that
happened.
Yeah,
when he was 11 right years old, one night 25 men came to the front door, kicked it open, went into the bedroom, grabbed his father, John Ridge, out of the bed, took him outside. Two men held him, and another one stabbed him 27 times. Mm. Then they threw him in the air. When he fell down, they walked over him, stepped on him. Mm. And the whole family was forced to watch. And that affected Rollin quite a bit. He was known by the family as Rollin rather than John Ridge.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
And also, of course, by the name Yellowbird. So, Mike, this event on Sunday is going to happen at the Ridge Family Plot in Grass Valley.
Yes, at the Greenwood Memorial Cemetery in the unendowed section. We were up there on Saturday and cleaned the plot. It hadn't been cared for. We've cleaned all the headstones. You can read them all. We have the relationships of all 11 people that are buried there to the Ridge family and how they're connected and who they are. And we were inviting the general public. We're going to have a Cherokee ceremony, and it's not a memorial. We're calling it a commemoration, and it's not a funeral.
Mm. How notable is the Cherokee population in California?
I've heard estimates of registered Cherokee Nation citizens. California has the largest population outside of Oklahoma, something in the neighborhood of around 80,000, the majority from Central California down. I have heard estimates in Northern California of that 80,000, maybe between 5 and 7,000. Nobody has a definite number because of privacy. The Cherokee Nation won't share it with us. And so we're continually finding Cherokees that can join our organizations and help us move on with our cultural programs.
And you are a council member yourself.
Yes, I'm a Cherokee Nation citizen, and I'm the treasurer of the Cherokees of Northern Central Valley on our 7-person council.
So John Rollin Ridge died in 1867, and at that point he was eulogized as a great poet, a political commentator. But keeping the music alive and the language, Tonya, that's part of the mission of the group you're involved with. Would you explain a little bit more? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Our group, Ochagea, is an all-women's drum, and one of the ways that we promote the Cherokee language is through the medium of music. Everyone loves music. Everyone loves drumming, especially Native people, and California is so intertribal that this is a way of engaging young people in learning the language. We have less than 10,000 Cherokees who speak fluent Cherokee, and only about 2,000 that actually speak fluently are mostly elders who aren't going to be around forever, you know. So having our music and our songs are all in Cherokee is a way to get, you know, young people to learn the language. Yeah.
I think I'm fortunate in that I have at least a couple or maybe all three of you in the room who speak a little bit of Cherokee. Tonya, would you give me a phrase? Mm-hmm. Would you say something in the language?
Osio Donya Dagwadoa Chichalagi. That's, I said, hello, my name's Tonya, I'm Cherokee. And we would ask someone, Tohija, Tohija.
I think that was a cue to you, Ben.
Osta wado.
So how are you? And yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Would you say something else in the language? I think there's a musicality and a poetic rhythm to it.
Well, let's see. Chalagahewaniski, which means, do you speak Cherokee?
And how would I answer, Mike?
I don't speak Cherokee. I know two words. Hello, Osio, and thank you, Wado.
So that is how I would answer, exactly.
You'd answer either, which is no. I mean, yes, or what's no?
What is no? No. Maybe no is universal. But the point of this weekend is not only to remember the history, but to educate people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes. We have a packet that we'll be giving out. And this all started because I did read the biography, and the last page said he was buried at Grass Valley, which was, I couldn't wait to get up there and locate the grave. And this one thing led to another, found out he was the founding editor of the Sacramento Bee, which was a revelation.
And I didn't know that either until this moment. So the book you referred to is John Rollin Ridge, His Life and Works by James W. Perrins, P-A-R-R-I-N-S.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's also a book of poems by him that was published.
These are poems by John Rollin Ridge. And, of course, he wrote The Life and Times of Joaquin Murrieta and later became, I was told, the inspiration for Zorro because it's about a hero that was wronged.
What is relevant today about knowing and understanding John Rollin Ridge? I'll put that question to Ben.
Well, it's just probably part of the history of California, Northern California. He not only founded the Sacramento Bee, he also, I think, founded the Marysville paper. He was the managing editor there. He worked in San Francisco for one of the papers there, and he contributed those papers, the same papers that Bret Hart and Mark Twain contributed to. So he was in good company. He was also a fluent or an orator. He delivered the first commencement address for what was then Oakland College, which is now UC Berkeley.
That is Ben Ridge Goss, a descendant of John Rollin Ridge. Also, you heard Tonya Elliott and Mike Webb. More of this conversation online. The event is Sunday, October 7th, 11 to 4 at Greenwood Memorial Cemetery in Grass Valley. I'll go back to Mike Webb. Do you have a favorite story or image now after studying Yellowbird and his history that is really defining for him?
Well, in reading his biography, he was noted as being one of the commenters, the handsomest man they ever saw. And he got along with his competing so-called enemies in the newspaper. Everyone liked him. He sounded like an outgoing, gregarious sort of guy. It would have been really fun to have known him. He was a contemporary of Mark Twain. One of his poems was Mark Twain's favorite poem. I think it's the Broken Strings of the Harp. It's in the Book of Poems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my impression of Cherokees in my life, a really good sense of humor. They love to laugh. They're kind people. They're gentle people. And, of course, he had a tragic story in his life. And he survived that, and he did very well for himself. And the education was the key, and the Cherokees were really, it was really important to be educated even to this day.
Tonya, would you tell me a bit about your Cherokee background and how the drumming, the music, the language became so powerful and important in your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a college professor, and I actually teach a lot about historical trauma. I speak at conferences on historical trauma. And, you know, a lot of our people were disconnected from their culture. Not all of us were brought up, you know, in the culture. And so as an adult coming back to the culture and revisiting, learning the language and learning the traditions and learning the songs and about the food and the ways of Gadoogie working together in our families has been quite a lifelong journey and healing process. And so I teach counseling. I'm a therapist by nature. And one of the things that I really love is supporting women, especially Native American women, and coming back to their culture. You know, women really are traditionally the keepers of the traditions. And so, you know, because typically they're bringing up the children, and so they're encouraging the children to be inspired to learn and to reconnect and have that culture, that cultural peace. So, yeah, the last 25, 30 years of my life has been, you know, looking on how to restore that culture to my family. We came from North Carolina and Oklahoma. My dad was actually from Texas, lived in California since I was 4. So, you know, being in California, there's not a lot of access to that culture. So I travel back to Oklahoma frequently to learn.
You are the drum keeper?
I am.
Of the group?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me only what that means, of course, literally, mm-hmm. keeping the drum, but there's a symbolism to it and a power
Indeed.
To that role, too.
Indeed. So traditionally, Cherokees traditionally don't sit out a mother drum. That's an intertribal thing. But again, because we're in California and we're in a very intertribal culture in California, we don't always have access to those traditions. And so this is our way of coming together, the drum symbolizing the Mother Earth and the drumsticks representing the umbilical cord to the mother. And the way that we sit around the drum as women and the way that we relate to one another is teaching relationship skills, traditional Native relationship skills and healing. So there's a belief that the drum is a healing energy. And that when we sit at a drum, not only are we accessing that healing for ourselves, but when we offer those songs, they're prayers. Those songs are all prayers. And when those prayers go out, they offer healing to the people who are sitting with us and listening.
Tonya Elliott is the drum keeper of Ochagea, which is an all-Cherokee women's mother drum group. And Ben, if I can come back around to you, we've referenced that this event Sunday is going to be at the Ridge Family Plot.
Right.
What do you know about the Ridge Family Plot in Grass Valley?
I didn't know where it was until about 5 years ago, before I read the biography. And my grandson and I decided we're going to come up here and find it. And there's 3 cemeteries in Grass Valley. We started at one and we tramped through and you know, inspected like a couple of hundred graves there, nothing there. Went to the next one, which before we finally found it on the third cemetery. And it was in pretty good shape then. And most of our tradition is or our family thing is with his father and grandfather. They're buried in my mother's original, what do they call it, the plot that they were given, which is in it's in northeast Oklahoma.
Right, not in Grass Valley. Yeah.
No. This is back in Oklahoma. Yeah. He killed a guy who was messing with him. That's why how he ended up here. And that's a heck of a story, the story of his travel from Springfield, Missouri to Placerville.
He walked.
Yeah, they walked. Well, they had mules and things, but they had to eat them or either eat them or sell them. Mm. And they ended up walking a big part of it, and it was through, you know, it was just, you read that story. I can't remember the name of the magazine we read it in. What was it?
It's part of the package that we'll be giving out.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It's quite a story. It's amazing that he lived through it. He came out with his slave, Wakuli.
Yeah, and his brother.
How many family members do you think will be in Grass Valley or in the area for this weekend's event?
I don't really know. At one time I sold insurance here in the Bay Area, and at that time they usually used to get the phone books, which they don't have anymore. And I looked through there, and I found a bunch of ridges, and I tried calling all of them, leaving messages and saying, you know, I was part of the Ridge family, but I never got any answers from any of them, so I can't really say. Mm. Most of the family members are there in northeast Oklahoma.
Well, in doing that cemetery search with your grandson, you then in turn have passed on family stories and the legacy mm-hmm. of not only your great-great-great uncle, but all of what your family story is from the East Coast to here.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, good luck. I think, Mike, it sounds like for you this might not be a one-time event, correct?
Well, we did find one of the graves that didn't have a headstone, and cleaning it up, we discovered a piece of wood sticking out of the ground. It looked like an old cedar shingle. And so we looked around the old cemetery, and that was the way that they marked an unmarked grave. Hmm. And this thing's so deteriorated. So we'll probably go back and add a new shingle behind the old one at some point.
Hmm. Well, you're working on history.
Yes, we are.
So that we can bring it to the present.
And this is Cherokee history in the works.
Hmm. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you being here and sharing the stories. And we'll, again, let everybody know the event is this Sunday, October 7th, from 11 to 4 at the Greenwood Memorial Cemetery in Grass Valley in the unendowed section. And there is much more to learn. We'll connect you to it at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak.